Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hockenspeth and Greg Pickle here. We're still talking Penn State. Kent State, and really the quarter pole of the season here through three games, looking at the freshmen. And maybe if we have some time, Greg, the redshirt freshmen who have made an impact so far.
Yeah.
Wanted to remind you, by the way, for the best single game RV value in Happy Valley, you got to check out gopsurv.com. Fantastic RVs that you can rent for individual games. There's a free shuttle to the game, large projection TV in the lot there, free Wi-Fi, and you can enjoy tailgating with 409 Tailgate Club barbecue and wine, along with Shotzi's Jumbo Barat's Labatt beer. Go to psurv.com for all the details. Still a couple RVs left for the Ohio State game, so check it out. Go psurv.com. I think it was Tariq Castro Fields, Greg, said after the Kent State game, not in any kind of braggadocious or harmful way, but as a statement of fact that basically his class, the 2017 class and the 2018 class, represent some of maybe a majority of the fastest and best athletes on the team. And so that's the essence of what we're discussing here, is this interesting situation that Penn State finds itself in, trying to compete for a Big Ten and a national title this year while relying heavily on a lot of guys from those two classes so far. And it's a youth movement that's happening. And I think because they have Trace McSorley, you don't really, it's not a rebuild at all. It's right. It's a reload situation, and you're starting to see the fruits of that now.
Yeah, you certainly are. I mean, you've seen Penn State go out and recruit speed, recruit obviously talent, because that's what everyone needs to win. But more than anything else, guys that are just freakishly athletic. And when you look at the top testers around the country, a lot of these guys are on that list at their respective position in terms of 40 times and shuttle times and three cone times and all that good stuff. And it ends up transitioning to the field. So, yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, again, we talked about what Dwight Galt said back in June, just the fact about how fast this team was. He could see it, 2 months before the pads went on, and now that they're three games into the year, well, there's no question about what this team has. It's at high-end speed, and it's probably might be the fastest Penn State team in years. I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to think back to some of the previous teams that had a lot of speed, but overall, top to bottom, position to position, even the punter, Blake Gilligan, is fast, as he showed to kick, for that safety and turning a punt, a bad snap on a punt into a safety a couple years ago. I mean, they have a little bit of everything at each position that can really change the game.
And, I don't think you have to look any further than KJ Hamler as a demonstration of team speed. He's a redshirt freshman. Let's talk about the freshmen themselves, the true freshmen, starting with, the guys who were in the green category from the jump. Micah Parsons, I think you start a list like this anytime with him. You've seen him, and I haven't seen snap counts from the three games, but clearly he's taken on more. And I wonder, from your perspective, is he the team's best linebacker right now?
Yeah, I would say
Cam Brown's playing good football.
Yeah, he has. I mean, he is. Outside,
that's the conversation.
I think so. I think so too. I mean, most impactful linebacker. Yes, I guess if you're talking best linebacker, maybe not, because he doesn't necessarily do all the linebacker things correctly, and that's because he's just learning the position at the highest level of college football. So
just wait until he does.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, I would say him and Cam Brown are the two in that conversation. I think Cam Brown's played really, really well so far. And it's not that Jan Johnson and Cole Farmer have not, but they're just not the same kind of athletes that those two guys are. And that goes back to our conversation about speed and all agility and all that kind of stuff that helps make plays when maybe they're not there to be made.
Another linebacker, Jesse Luceda. His role has to grow, I think. I mean, it maybe is contingent upon really that 1-2 combination of Jan Johnson and Ellis Brooks.
Yeah.
If those guys get the job done, then maybe you don't have to force Luceda to play more than four games. But to me, his ability and his speed, it's worth burning the red shirt now. Maybe Penn State doesn't need to, but I think he is in the top 3, 4, 5 linebackers that Penn State has.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think that good things have happened almost every time he's been on the field. Again, he's not facing the best opponents Penn State's going to face. He's not facing world-class talent like he will down the road. But like I said, good things tend to happen when he's on the field. He's not often out of his role or missing a gap or, you know, messing up a responsibility. So I certainly think there's room for him to see an expanded role in the future. Maybe not enough to burn his red shirt, but certainly enough to keep him on the field, you know, in key spots for somewhere down the line as this season continues.
I mean, if you think ahead, that was one of the things as all these young kids are playing against Kent State. You know, it seemed like the buzzing is basically wait until these guys grow up. You know, look at the layers of talent who are still just a little young to fully realize their potential right now. And it's an interesting situation because you lose Trace McSorley from a team that'll go forward as, you know, the fastest and best and most athletic team that Penn State has had in quite some time.
Right.
And, you know, you lose that key piece. And what is this team capable of doing? I think athletically, they're getting into that maybe top 10 athletically in the country. And you think the what they did in 2016 and to a lesser extent 2017 and what they didn't have athletically and they were still able to win games. It's an exciting time, I feel like, to follow along with this team and to see how the youth develops in front of our eyes.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much been, you know, each game has given you a little bit of a flash from somebody. You know, I think Trent Gordon's been okay when he's been out there, the freshman corner. I think that obviously Parsons has made an impact. Ricky Slade has, what, two touchdowns now? You know, he comes back from two fumbles to score against Kent State. I mean, there's a couple other guys that you could put in that flash category as well. It's when these guys are on the field, they don't look like they're out of place. They don't look like they're playing college football for the first time. They look like guys who can legitimately contribute and make things happen. So, you know, I just think that the Penn State clearly has shown that when you get top five recruiting class talent, you can change your roster in a hurry in a lot of ways from a number of different positions and, again, from the speed factor.
You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show, talking Penn State football and the true freshmen and redshirt freshmen that are a driving force for this program right now and into the future as well. We talked about gopsurv.com at the top of this segment. I wanted to mention you can avoid shipping costs by pre-ordering 409 Tailgate Club wine for the Ohio State game. You can pick it up at the 409 Tailgate Club tailgate party by calling 570-204-4478. That's 570-204-4478 to pre-order your tailgate wine for the Ohio State game. Seems like a good idea, Greg. I wanted to circle back to the green light category a little bit. Ricky Slade, it'll be interesting to see how he meshes the conservative ball security issue after fumbling twice against Pitt with his natural playmaking ability. And that's one of the things that young running backs have to contend with. Miles Sanders is a good example of that. How does Ricky Slade develop while keeping an eye on the football? Pat Freiermuth, we talked about him earlier in the show. We think he's the team's best tight end right now, and there's an opportunity here to be a dual threat tight end that you reap the rewards of Mike Gesicki in a lot of ways, but not an impactful blocker. Freiermuth shows that kind of body control and athleticism, but with a willingness and an ability to block too. He can be a really, really good player for 4 years here.
Yeah, he certainly can, Dustin. I mean, he's a guy that has seemingly taken a little step forward each week. Tyler Bowen raved about sort of his emotional maturity during a conference call before the Kent State game, and then Pat goes out and plays what I would assume is a career high in terms of number of snaps, and he made each one of them count. I mean, he made a nice catch down the sideline. He clearly has a tremendous amount of athleticism for as big as he is. He can move pretty well, and when you're able to do that at his size, you know, you have a chance to be something special, and I think that's what we're seeing with him. Is he 100% going to take over the tight end role and completely leave John Holland and Danny Dalton in the dust? I don't know about that. I mean, I think that Penn State still likes to rotate his tight ends a little bit, but clearly he's built a role for himself that means he's probably not going to redshirt this season, which I don't know if that was ever necessarily on the table, but it certainly isn't now.
Oh, definitely not now. Jake Pinniger, the kicker, you haven't seen a lot of him.
You know, I was disappointed. Late in the end of the first half, okay, you can go score the touchdown, and you know you're going to go score the touchdown, but I would have loved to see him get a field goal shot there. I just feel like we haven't seen enough of him. Like, okay, so he's what, 21-21 on extra points, or 29-29, I don't know, something ridiculously good, but I feel like Penn State, I don't think we know what the trust level is with him yet. It's a little bit bizarre.
Yeah, and I think you saw enough glimpses early to feel pretty good about him, but, you know, I think the more the more game reps, the more kicks he can attempt in front of a lot of people, the better. We'll see. You know, you're going to go start going to the meat of the schedule with a kid who still needs to be tested a little bit. I don't think he lacks for confidence, though. That's the one thing I would say. He looks like a kid who is going to have a short memory, which I think is maybe the most important trait of all. You know, one of the NFL kickers who missed an important kicker, several important kicks, said he missed it due to lack of confidence. I think it was the Vikings kicker.
Yeah.
That can have a real impact on your game. PJ Mustipher, still, I think he's right on the course we thought he would be. Has a chance to be great. He's playing meaningful snaps now. Looking at some of the other ones, Jason Owe, did he change James Franklin's mind? I still am really curious to hear about that. Maybe this week Franklin will address that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, on one hand, I could see him earning enough. He just, the problem to me, Dustin, is
you need to boost the pass rush.
You do. And the question is, was he beating just guys that were just not good enough, or is he fast enough to beat Ohio State's ends? You don't know it until you play him. But certainly, I think it could be a way to change the pass rush. He's still a little bit thin, but if he's fast enough to beat all Big Ten caliber tackles, then he's going to play more. There's no question about it. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see if they have drawn that conclusion. Daniel George, he's averaging a robust 95 yards per catch.
Yeah, that's a pretty good.
He's a thick kid, isn't he?
He is. Yeah, he's a big guy.
He's a big guy. But he athletically, you know, speaking of that, I've used the word more athletically in the last 10 minutes I have in my entire life to this point. But he tested really well in the lead up to the opening.
Yeah.
Really well-rounded across the board. I think he has a chance to do some good things later. Justin Shorter, I think, you know, the essence here is that people might be disappointed to not see him more, but, you know, when you're banged up in camp and you miss time as a true freshman wide receiver, this is what happens. He's playing from behind. I think he's still playing from behind. Jahan Dotson, didn't see him much. Saw him make a little questionable decision on a punt return late in this game. Caught it just as he was going out of bounds.
Yeah, but if he didn't do that, there would not be a new Penn State record for the longest play from scrimmage.
That's true.
Phil,
you're welcome, Daniel George.
That's exactly right. Jahan Dotson was just thinking of his buddy. That's why he did that.
He needs an asterisk next to that catch. Rashid Walker, anything stand out with him?
You know what? Honestly, it was hard. It's just hard to tell, I think, late in these games, whether, you know, the competition's not great and things are sort of, they're just trying to run the clock out. I mean, I think it's, the biggest plus to me is Penn State felt confident enough in where he's come since he's arrived on campus to put him in that spot and give him some reps.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I mean, I don't know if he's ready in 2019, but if he is, what they can do with that line. You know, when you talk about Ryan Bates, he's got another year of eligibility left. Can he move inside? Can you strengthen that line a good bit? It's an interesting thing to watch. We'll see what happens with Rashid Walker. We won't see him much for the rest of the way. We got one more segment to go here on the Keystone Kickoff Show, reviewing the Big Ten's ugly weekend is coming up after this. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.